We're talking this week about becoming best friends with your spouse, and one of the difficulties is some people just really don't understand what the whole friendship thing is. How do we do friendship? We want to spend some time today talking about what friends do.
That's Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries here on Parenting on Purpose. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and with us this week is Rosemary Barnes, Dr. Barnes's wife, and we're talking about becoming your spouse's best friend on this parenting program because it does affect how you parent, but also shows your kids really what marriage is going to be like and everything you do in front of the kids they pick up on. Mm-hmm. So that's why this is important.
Well, I think your friendship also sets a tone in your family. Your friendship helps your children laugh. Your friendship helps them see that it's fun. Your friendship helps them see that friends do things for other friends. And, you know, we talked yesterday about the different temperaments, and that's part of understanding your spouse when you become a friend. But friends do some things, and I think some people have never seen this done. We're such islands in this culture. But friends do things with other friends that you don't do with other people, right?
Right. And one of them, I think, is that friends are able to risk self-disclosure, which basically means that a friend is willing to open up. A friend is able to say, you know, I am really struggling in this area, or I am really not good in this area. Do you have any input? Wow, that's a scary thing to say. Mm-hmm. But I think friends do that with one another. Friends are open with each other. Friends don't act like they've got everything together and have all the answers to everything. And so I think self-disclosure is really pivotal, especially when we think about what we talked about yesterday about temperaments. When we approach life differently, then working through some of these differences are very pivotal in opening up and sharing with our friend.
I'm not ashamed then. I'm not ashamed to open up and say I don't have all the answers, which is really that passage in the Bible, and the man and his wife were both naked and not ashamed. A picture of this is me. I love the way you said that. We risk self-disclosure rather than trying to actually keep it all together. And the picture there is this, and I spent some time with a friend today, and he's in law enforcement, and he made the statement, you know, my job's hard. My job's just hard, and I come home from my job, and I have to be so controlled, and I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I get home, and wow, I just need a time to just, wow, not be in charge for a little bit, and not be in charge of me for a little bit. And so this friendship there's a cushion to it. It's a recliner. It's this wonderful chair. You know, I've got a chair in my study that Rosemary wanted to throw out because we've had it since we were married. We bought it from Penny's 105 years ago, and it's shot. The chair is shot. One of the things about it is I believe that's the chair that Tori led Roby to the Lord when he was four and she was seven, sitting behind the chair. So we've kept it for that reason, but it's been relegated to my study. It's not out in public. And it's just
covered with a big sheet.
Well, yes. It is covered, actually, yes. It's just a great chair because it's comfortable and it fits me. We're all looking for that relationship chair. It's this one person, at least, I can risk self-disclosure to.
And I think a real important aspect of self-disclosure is that the spouse is watchful for that. You know, this friend that you're talking about, when he comes in from the end of a very, well, in all of our lives, coming in from very trying times today in our culture, coming in and for the spouse to be sensitive, what was her day like today? What did she have to deal with at work? Or what did he had that very, very stressful meeting. And just to be sensitive to each other rather than constantly putting forward our needs. Mm. And so I think part of that whole self-disclosure thing is the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and be willing to be watchful and listen and be a cushion where your spouse can collapse on.
Mm. And you also want to feel safe to do this,
right?
Because if there's been things in the past, even in your personal past, you know, you kind of bring that up. Well, I don't want to show him that I do that because what is he going to think about me? And then, well, you haven't gotten to that level then in your marriage where you can, you know, just put it all out on the table and feel safe. Hey, you're still going to love me if I show you this, right?
That's the risk. Self-disclosure. Mm-hmm. Some of us grew up in homes where no one did that. Or maybe in this particular marriage, the first few years, it just wasn't a safe place to risk self-disclosure. So it is a risk, and friends want to hold that and be very, very careful with that.
Does it get easier over the years? I mean, you know, at the beginning, I know you still try to impress. That funny story, Rosemary, where you talk about putting rollers in your hair
after I went to sleep at night.
Yeah. Yes. And took it off before you got up.
Because there's that season of impressing, and then, and then you get to a point where you're like, okay, reality is this is what
this
I look like.
This is it.
This is what you married. Deal
but
with it.
Some
you know?
Of that, some of that is not just this is what I look like. The reality is to realize that you're loved, period. Mm-hmm. That you're loved. Mm-hmm. And you're not just loved when we're going out to a big dinner. You're loved. And that you are beautiful. And beautiful is not just cosmetic. And everybody's searching for that. And especially the American female is searching for that because she is shown continually younger women that are beautiful. She gets older and the gap gets bigger. And so you can't go in that. You can't, you know what? I'm taking a pill. I'm getting younger every year. It's absolutely awesome. And he is trying to find, you know, am I respectable? Mm-hmm. And I don't feel, I know I'm not because I can't compete out there either. And so finally there's this person where I can say, you know, I know so-and-so just bought such and such for his wife. And I when I saw that, I had a hard time being happy for her because I can't do that, or that's not our goal, or I don't want to get caught in that. To be able to say that out loud, it's a risk, but it's a safe risk. I can park it there.
Well, I want to go back to your original thing about the American woman in this culture today and this whole thing of feeling this pressure almost to look good and young and all those kinds of things in a very visual, from a male's perspective, mm-hmm. world. Mm-hmm. And do you think it has to be a learned thing for a man to be able to look at his wife with the rollers in her hair? Not that we do that anymore, Ruthie, do we? No. But without the makeup and maybe 10, 20 pounds overweight because she's just had a child or whatever. How does that happen? How can a woman feel loved and okay, this is just who I am? Of course, we're going to do the best we can with what we've got. Mm-hmm. But there is a tremendous pressure out there. Mm-hmm. For the female, and I will go back to the male on that as well, because I have some thoughts on how a wife can help with that. But how is it really natural for a man who's very visual and exposed to women at the office dressed inappropriately or billboards or dolphin cheerleaders? Can it happen where she feels okay?
Well, there's a lot in that sentence, in that question, and so we got to back up. Can it happen where he can get to the point where he loves and thinks about his wife and has dealt with his eyes? Can it happen? First of all, we have to decide if this is something that God wants me to do, and we know it is, right? Then it can happen, right? Right. And I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength I need. And then let's go to your word. Is it natural? I don't want to conform to the natural. I don't want to do Romans 12:1. I don't want to conform to the pattern of this world. So I've got to make some Joseph-esque type decisions. And as you know, Rosemary, all of life comes back to Joseph, Genesis chapter 30.
Okay, I'm going to wake, go
50.
To sleep. Would you wake me up in 10 minutes?
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to the respect issue.
Yeah.
Where now I feel like a total loser on air. But it's something every man has to decide. Mm-hmm. I have to decide that the wife of my youth is the one that needs to occupy my brain, and I need to take captive every other thought and remove it. Mm-hmm. And I need to decide that if the eyes are the entryway to the heart, then I need to work on what I look at and not take the second glance. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced that when Joseph ran from Potiphar's wife after 11 years in Genesis 39, verses 1 through 7, 11 years she approached him. 11 years she came in. It says day after day she approached him and said, have an affair with me. He chose not to. He chose to stay pure. And I know when we have these kinds of discussions, there are some moms who are listening. I already know two moms who are listening with 12-year-old boys. Do not turn this off. Mm-hmm. He needs to hear this. All of us make decisions what we look at, what we take the second glance at. So she needs to be able to trust his eyes. More importantly, he needs to be able to discipline his eyes. When Joseph ran out of the house from Potiphar's wife, I'm convinced he ran from his potential. Mm. So I don't want a natural I don't want to do, is it natural for man? No, he made me a visual creature, but he made me a visual creature to give my wife this power in this relationship. He just needs to choose. He needs to make the choice. And then, you know, when it says day after day, she approached him. Day after day, he makes the choice in the workplace, what he's watching or not watching on television, what he decides not to watch, what he decides not to download, whatever it is, he needs to make that choice. Because she does get better and better in his mind and in his heart.
That's good news.
He makes the choice. God created that, the wife of his youth. Now, it doesn't say the wife of his youth for just 10 years, for 20, for 30, for 40, for 50, for 60. I had the privilege of meeting your grandparents, Dr. Torrey and his wife, and watching your grandmother and your grandfather sit on a couch together. And I watched her. I mean, they're in their 80s, and she had her hand on his leg. I thought that was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. This
awkward.
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. Wow. Mm-hmm. These guys, and they were notorious in a positive way about how much they just adored each other still. They've been through, they've done massive ministry together and been all through China doing ministry together, and it was just awesome. It's a choice that he makes, and it's a choice that he makes to take captive every thought. And no, I'm not going there with that thought. And it's a choice to guard his eyes, and it's a choice that says to guard his heart. He makes that choice to love the wife of his youth.
And this is interesting because men and women kind of approach friendship differently. I know women, you know, the friendship is all tied to emotions also. Yes, sexuality is in there and all that. For men, I think you're more compartmentalized.
Oh, absolutely.
Also. So then when you do have issues in the bedroom per se, then that affects both the women because it ties into her emotions. And then how would that affect the men? Because we're here talking about how a woman can feel worth and all that.
Well, the ultimate for her, everything tied together is relationship. And the sexual experience is part of the relationship. Rosemary telling me it starts at breakfast and goes 24/7. Bob.
Guys don't get that.
They don't get that unless they have to hear it and believe it. And so, Bob, when you've gone out of the house with a harsh comment, are you going to remember to get the dry cleaning today? You go out of the house like that and you wonder why she absolutely is. The light has gone off in her little heart when you get home. And you wonder, what's with that? I said that 9 hours ago. You're kidding me, right? And so slowly over a period of time, because he totally separates the relationship from his sexuality initially until he gets to the place where he realizes there's a difference between having sex and making love. There's a relationship issue here. But his whole deal, and it's why God says wives respect your husbands, husbands love your wives. It's totally different. I can't believe you raised your hand in a radio room to talk. That's awesome.
Well, I just want to go back. I think it's really important, the other side of the coin. We talked early on about for him and needing to feel respected and so forth. And I think as women, as wives, we've got to choose just as much as you're choosing to be, have your wife be the center of your thoughts and your heart. In the same way, I think wives need to respect in a way to make him feel like he is a wonderful provider and that he is satisfying you and all those things. And I think we have a tendency as women sometimes to say, well, guess what? My friend got a new car today and my car is a hunk of junk. We let those kind of things slide off our tongue, and those kinds of things then hurt the self-esteem and the respect that a husband feels as much as his eyes watching the dolphin cheerleaders affect her. And so how we need to choose that in our relationships to affirm each other in the arena that we need to be affirmed.
Instead of reacting, we need to be building.
Yes.
You react with a comment that absolutely takes him down, or you build him with comments. It was the early years of me filling a pulpit where you sat in the front row and acted like what I had to say meant something when I see him up in the sound booth turning the tape off because no one's going to buy this tape. This was horrible.
Oh my gosh.
And she acted like it was absolutely awesome. We are to be each other's best friends. And part of that is affirming each other according to how we feel they need to be affirmed. We need to work on that. We need to pursue that.
You're listening to Dr. Bob and Rosemary Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, here on Parenting on Purpose. And if you want to hear this program again, we're talking about becoming your spouse's best friend and the process of that. Find it online at parentingonpurpose.org. And to support the Children's Home at Sheridan House Family Ministries, find out more about them, even more resources about marriage that go to support the ministry, go to shfm.org. It's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries, or you can give with your cell phone, simply texting two letters, SH, short for Sheridan House, and sending it to 41518. That'll add $10 to your cell phone bill and give $10 to the ministry. We hope you'll join us tomorrow as we continue our conversation on becoming your spouse's best friend here on Parenting on Purpose.